You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Yes, hello everybody. Welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Looking ahead to the KLM Open this week, European Tour event. Nothing in the PGA. Bit of a quiet week of golf, and we've got rid of the noisy member of the golf podcast in the shape of Dave Kellner, who again is absent. I don't know. Commitment's not his middle name, is it? It's Mark Walton in the presenter's chair in the meantime.
It's Horace. Good if it was.
Dave Tindall in the studio with us. Obviously, we've got the main member of the group that actually knows about golf in the studio. Dave Kellner's just a pretender, isn't he?
So I always like to stick the boot in while he's away.
Exactly. He's not here to defend himself, so let's get stuck into him. No, he will be back next week, I presume. Hopefully, anyway, because he's far better at it than I am, I will say that. But we'll try our best. A lot of attention is going to be on the Ryder Cup, obviously, for the next few weeks. So we'll have a little bit of a chat about that as well. And then we'll get Dave's picks for the KLM Open. We know the Ryder Cup teams now. Tony Finau, completing the lineup for the US after last week's action, or spilled into this week's action. Looking at the two teams as it stands, who wins it? Who do you think's got the strongest team going into it?
Well, them, basically, the Americans. I mean, they were sort of spoilt for choice for their wildcard picks. We were sort of arguing about who's sort of the least worst, and I don't know. For them, Finau, he's a great pick. I mean, he's been brilliant in the majors this year. He went to Le Golf National, where it's going to be played in Paris, to do a sort of kind of recce around the Open time. So I think he kind of, you know, went along with the teacher to that one, and can I play? So he's certainly made a good impression, and his golf has made a good impression as well. So they've picked him. They could have picked numerous other candidates. So they have got a bright, shiny new team, one that won last time easily. So it's pretty easy to see why they are favourites at 8-11 mark, although they've not won on European soil since 1993.
Yeah, long time. US are 8-11, Europe 11-8, and the tie is 12-1. You can obviously do that market without the tie in there to lift the trophy. Europe 11-8, and the US 8-15. Just to clear that up, if it's a tie, the holders retain the title, don't they?
Yes,
lift the trophy. So, yeah. So you've got.
That's why the Europe price is the same.
Yeah, but US is shorter because
you're getting a bit of
the
draw thrown in. There's a hashtag future Eurods that I've just stumbled upon as I was casually browsing while you were setting up.
Yes.
Here we go. Look, Patrick Reed to be top United States point scorer, including ties. That always helps. Ian Poulter to be top European point scorer, including ties. And the US to win 66-1. That's a big old price. Patrick Reed has been the top US point scorer for the last two Ryder Cups.
Yeah.
Ian Poulter's done it twice out of three when picked as a wild card, which he is this time. There's a lot of supporting evidence to say that's a decent bet.
It's a nice prize, isn't it? 66-1.
Yeah, 66, worth a few quid.
You mentioned wild cards there as well. We obviously should mention that the European wild cards, Paul Casey, Sergio Garcia, Ian Poulter and Henrik Stenson. Don't think there were many surprises there, or any real huge surprises there.
No, there was a lot of talk for Matt Wallace.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I think we did say on last week's podcast that Thomas Bjorn would probably go with the sort of tried and trusted, and he did. So, like you said, we didn't go when he did name them. So, yeah, he's gone with experience. So, we'll have to see how that pans out, really.
Yeah. And for the US, Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods, you'd be hard pressed to leave them two out, wouldn't you? Along with Bryson DeChambeau and Tony Finau. So, two rookies,
but very informed rookies. Yeah. So, they've got a nice balance to their team.
Yeah. Yeah, so there you go. That's a little bit of a look at the teams there. In terms of players, then, that stand out to you, we do have an offer here at William Hill that whoever you back in the anti-post market to be top point scorer, a bet of £10 maximum on a win single or £10 each way on the combined overall point scorer market. And you receive a £5 free bet every time your player wins a full point, which looks a good offer.
Nice.
You know,
yeah.
You're obviously backing somebody because you fancy them to do well, and every time they vindicate your opinion, you get a fiver back. So
yeah, very nice.
Players that stand out to you in those kind of markets then?
Yeah, so that's top combined point scorer, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, so looking at the market, Dustin Johnson 9-1 favourite, Brooks Koepka 10-1, Justin Thomas 11-1, Jordan Spieth 12s. These are all Americans. First one we've got for European, Justin Rose 12s as well. Patrick Reed, who I just mentioned before, who's been the top American point scorer the last two Ryder Cups, he's 12-1. Rory McIlroy 12s, Tiger 12s. A lot of players in there. Poulter 16s, that's an interesting one.
Yes, yeah.
He will inevitably be chomping at the bit, banging on Thomas Bjorn's door, saying, play me all five games, and why wouldn't he? He's been in good enough form this year to be wheeled out all the time. So he might maybe just play four out of five, but based on what he's done in the past, Ian Poulter, we know what he's missed a Ryder Cup, isn't he? So that's 16 could be decent. Better a quarter, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. If you're backing someone at 16s at a quarter, 1, 2, 3, 4 of Ian Poulter's ability, you should be there or thereabouts, shouldn't you, surely?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, probably. Yes, 3 points will probably get you a place in that market. So.
Yeah, fair enough. Any other markets that have caught your eye for the Ryder Cup while we're on the subject of it? Because there are a lot on the William Hill website there.
Yeah, we've got plenty, haven't we?
Four balls, foursomes, one winner and all that kind of stuff.
It's one of those ones I probably look at a bit closer to the time. But that initial hashtag your odds one about Poulter Reed and the Americans winning at 66 is that's the one that I've gone, ooh.
Okay. And what do you make of the venue in Paris?
Yeah, it's a fantastic venue. I've been lucky enough to actually play the course. Sort of running joke on it, I always say I've played the course somewhere, but Dave would have been rolling his eyes by now.
Okay.
And Mike as well. Yeah, I played it once after they held the French Open there. I kept hitting my ball in the water.
That's not good.
No.
That's not how you play golf.
So I suppose the angle there is there's lots of water, and I was good at finding it. But the last few holes, they really are. There's lots of water on the last few holes, so it really does set up a sort of exciting climax to games because, you know, players are going to go for it and it's, you know, will a balls end up wet or will they pull off a sort of thrilling approach that lands near the flag? So, yeah, it is a really good venue for it. Good spectator viewing as well. And it's a new one as well. It's nice to see them go somewhere new.
Yes. Are you one of those people then that, you know, when you sat watching the Ryder Cup with your mates and or your family or whatever and you're like, played there, you know, you give them a nudge, I played there.
Yeah, and then they sort of tire of me quite quickly. I try to be not too blatant about it.
Yeah, all right, okay.
Just say it on this podcast a few times to wind Dave up normally.
If you're listening, Dave, hope you're annoyed. So that's, you know, that's that. You think the US will win then, even though they've got a treacherous record in Europe in recent years?
It's a funny one, isn't it? It's like, can you back something at odds on that hasn't happened since 1993? It's sort of on that very sort of basic thinking. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about the outright market. I watch it once. I know some people can really just separate what their heart wants and their pocket wants. But I really want Europe to win.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be sort of cheering on America because I've backed them at 8 to 11. I'd rather play the side markets if I'm going at it from an American angle.
Yeah.
But I think if you want to back Europe, you know, just with your heart, 11 to 8 is more than fair enough, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, we've seen them go into it unfancied and still win it on European soil. So it's one of those, isn't it, where you see it in football or in other sports where home advantage against a bogey side, you know, teams just struggle. And it is a bit of that, isn't it? It's as much mental as it is ability, and it does have an impact.
Absolutely. And of course, because it's held at Le Golf National, that's a course used every year on the European Tour, so lots of the Europeans, they've played it loads of times.
Yeah.
Poulter's played it tons of times, got a really good record there. The only American to sort of come over and play it this year was Justin Thomas, who did quite well. It got top 10, but you wonder why more of them didn't go over and test themselves. If they don't, it's their own fault, isn't it, and they lose.
It is. Fail to prepare and all that.
All that, yeah.
Yes, and the good thing about it as well, of course, it's in Europe, so it'd be a time where we can just sit and watch it without having to watch it at silly hours. So
that's right, yeah.
That's always good.
28th of September, Friday it starts.
Yeah, So we've got that to look forward to in a few weeks. We do have an event coming up this week, though, so we will have a little bit of a look ahead to that as well. The KLM Open is in Holland, in the Netherlands, and it's at the Dutch, which gives it away a little bit, of course. Tell us about the Dutch. Well, the court, not the nation.
The whole people, yeah. They're quite good at football, they used to be. It's a course designed by Colin Montgomery, and you often find with course designers, they kind of design it in their own, you know, mould. So he will reward good iron play. It's inland, but it's kind of a bit of an inland links. It's quite exposed course. So the greens, you know, if you come, balls will run off them. They've got runoff areas, so you've got to have quite a sharp short game as well. So we've had just a couple of years there, so there's not an awful lot of course fun, but there are this kind of elements of the course, it being exposed to the wind, the runoff areas, that do remind you of links style venues, which helps picking out players, I think. I've gone for players who have got that form on this course as well, maybe, but also on others that correlate well with it.
Okay. Let's have a spin through the top end of the market, and imagine my surprise seeing Lee Westwood, one of the favourites here. 16-1 with Matt Wallace and Eddie Pepperell. They're co-favourites of three. Chris Wood is 22-1. Mike Lorenzo Vera is 25-1 with the guy I can never get his name right, Kuradek Afibanrat. Yeah, something like that, yeah, 25-1. I almost got it.
You were trying to sort of give it some French spin to it.
French.
Say it as it is. Afibanrat.
I'm too busy thinking about the Golf National and trying to say that. Yeah. Ryan Fox is 25-1. Eric Van Rooyen is 28. Sandy Sullivan, 28 as well. Sjoren Kjeldsen is 33-1, along with Fabrizio Zanotti and Matthew Southgate. Thomas Detry is also in there at 33s, along with Nacho Elvira. Andrea Pavan is 33s as well. I was hoping that the 33s would end sooner than that. And 42 on our bigger prices for the remainder in terms of each way terms here. Fifth of the odds, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6. So should be able to hit the frame at least, hopefully, here. The reason I mention the Westwood thing is because he seems to have gone missing more often than not of late. You know, you always used to associate him with being, a few years ago, like up there at the majors without ever winning one, and always been pretty consistent without having that little bit just to get over the line. But he's gone quiet. So has he had an upturn recently?
Yeah, he has. He probably should have won a couple of weeks ago when he led into the back nine, but couldn't get over the line. That was the one where Matt Wallace came through to win in Denmark. So he has been playing really well, but hasn't won on the European Tour for 4 years, whereas Matt Wallace has won 3 times in this year, and they're the same price. You could argue, you know, is Westwood a bit tight there? It's sort of going back a little bit to his good form and his good form on these sort of courses. But I think the one of that trio of market leads, I like Eddie Pepperell.
Okay.
16s. The idea that it correlates well with Lynx form. Eddie Pepperell this summer was runner-up in the Scottish Open at Gullen on the Lynx. 6th in the Open Championship at Carnoustie. So brilliant player on the links. And then, lo and behold, he was 3rd in this event last year. His kind of course.
Okay.
So I think he's worth a little go, Eddie Pepperell, at the front of the market. There was an element that he might be a bit gutted that he didn't get a Ryder Cup pick. But that applied to Matt Fitzpatrick last week in Switzerland, and he went and won. So I think these players are quick to sort of shrug it off. I mean, to be honest, Fitzpatrick and Pepperell will probably realise that they were a little bit down the pecking order. But they've certainly not got into a big sulky strop about it. They've just sort of gone out and played well. So Fitzpatrick was defending champion last week, won it again. Eddie Pepperell, 3rd on this course last year. I think he can go back there in conditions that absolutely suit him and play really well again. So I'm going to make Eddie Pepperell my first bet. I'm going to have 3, actually.
3 bets?
Yeah, how about
I suppose you've only got one tournament to go on, so there's no harm in that.
I'll go for it.
16-1 in the market then for the KLM Open. That's the first pick. Tell us your second.
Yeah, so staying with this idea of good links players, I think the one that jumps out for me at the price is at 50-1 is Joachim Lagergren, the Swede. He's got a brilliant record in the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship, which he's played kind of in October each year. 4th, 4th and 12th, so he's done really, really well there. He's also done really well in Qatar, which is a similar course because it's wide open and exposed to the wind. He's got a second place there. He got a first win of his European Tour career earlier this year, back in May, at the Sicilian Open. So he arrived back at this venue as a winner. Now, for all that kind of, that's kind of the sort of surrounding correlating form. Actually, let's get straight to the point. On this course, he plays it well. 20th on debut, he was second after first round 66. Last year, he was the halfway leader after rounds of 67, 65, went on to finish ninth. So, of course, he really, really plays well on it. Makes sense that he plays well on it, given his skill sets. And I just think he'll have a bit more of a pep in his step this year because he's a European Tour winner. So we're getting that price because he finished runner-up. He missed the cut in Switzerland last week. But that was high in the mountains. This is in the lowlands of the Netherlands.
Chalk and cheese.
You couldn't contrast it more. So I think rather than go, oh, he missed the cut, we should say, well, that's maybe helped add 10 points to his price.
Yeah.
So 50-1, yeah, Joachim Lagergren. I really like that.
I like it. I like the angle in there. Nice nice price as well. Is the other one a bigger price again?
No, I've sort of split the difference here. Okay. I'm going for Eric Van Rooyen, who 28.
Yeah, the South African.
Yeah. He was another one who showed up really, really well on the link swing earlier this year. Probably should have won in Ireland. He looked as though he might go all the way there. Led after 54 holes, didn't get it done, but he was still fourth there. And then in the Open Championship at Carnoustie, absolutely showed his links skills again, finished 17th. That was a really good effort. And since then, he was fifth in the Made in Denmark. So he's got that really good links form. He's just playing really, really well, to be honest. And although it's his debut at the course, I think we can use the clues he's given us and other players have provided to think this will be right up his street. He admits he absolutely loves links golf. A lot of South Africans do.
Yeah.
They're sort of used to the wind and they're used to that kind of territory. And it's just kind of following one of the hot horses, I think. So I thought 28s, yeah, I would have liked 33s to be honest, but I think 28s is fine on a player who has got a couple of top fives in his last six starts. So, you know, it's justified.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Obviously, being in Holland, we've had a few Dutch winners of this in the past. Is there anybody in the lineup that could be one to for the home crowd to get behind, do you think, here?
Well, most people just sort of kind of wait for this event to come and then blindly back Joost Louten.
Yeah.
Because he's won it a couple of times the last 5 years, I think.
Yeah.
But he's not playing. He's got a wrist injury. And he is kind of Mr. Dutch Golf, so there isn't really.
Is that a terrible impression?
Also, this one time, he.
Apologies for that. Anybody who's Dutch and listening.
There you go. That was Joost Louten rather than a general Dutch accent.
Yes, yes, yes.
Exactly. Spot on. You wouldn't believe how near that sounds to him. He sort of, yeah, you get some sports, don't you, where there's a standout player from a country and not a lot really. And at the moment, I think Martin Lefebvre won quite a few years ago.
Can you name the other one? That was 2003.
Yeah, he's retired since. So, yeah, Dutch golf is kind of dependent on Joost Louten. So I can't really see any sort of home presence this time, I'm afraid.
Twice winner and was runner-up back in 2007 as well. But
aren't there strong sort of historical links between the Dutch and South Africa?
That's one for the historians and geographists. Is that a word?
Check that out. That's something to do in your spare time, listeners.
Okay. So let's have a summary then, away from the digression we've had
historical.
There.
Historical. Trying to support Eric Van Rooyen because...
Yeah, just a convoluted reason to get to.
Yeah, yeah.
So three picks this week.
Yeah, I'll go a point and a half each way, Eddie Pepperell at 16s. I'll go a point each way, Eric Van Rooyen at 28s. And I'll go a point each way, Joachim Lagergren at 50s.
Nice. Thank you very much, Dave. Good luck and enjoy it this week.
Cheers, Mark.
There you go, the thoughts of Dave Tindall on this week's golf action then. Action to come up from the KLM Open in Holland or the Netherlands, if you prefer. We will be back, of course, next week with a little bit more golf to go at, and then it'll be all systems go for the Ryder Cup. So do rejoin us then. Thank you very much for listening and enjoy the action this week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.